need to retell the retail story.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiatakis. When we last left the holiday shopping season, Wall Street analysts were expecting it to be bad. But today's government numbers turn out to be more than twice as bad as that. Retail sales in December sank 2.7%. Consider that consumer spending accounts for roughly two-thirds of the whole economy, and you can figure out Wall Street's reaction this morning. My, the Dow's down 281 points, 3.3%. The Nasdaq has lost 3.25%. The broader S&P 500 has sunk 3.5%. Citigroup shares are languishing by 16% after the banking giant formally confirmed the unraveling of its financial supermarket business model. To make up for ever mounting losses, it's selling control of its big brokerage arm, Smith Barney, to Morgan Stanley. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now to tell us what's behind this big change. Jeremy?
Bob, it looks like Citi has decided to get back to basics. Consumer banking, basically, and an investment bank for companies and wealthy individuals around the world, which probably means shedding some of its non-core operations, things like private label credit cards, consumer finance operations, and a company called Primerica, which sells life insurance and a number of other services.
Well, given the financial climate right now, isn't this a bad time to be selling off parts of your businesses? Why are they doing this now?
Well, it shows you they're in big trouble and they need to reassure investors. The stock price for Citigroup has dropped by about 75% just since October. They are reporting fourth quarter earnings next week. Those are going to be abysmal, probably a $10 billion loss. And now, possibly for the first time, they have an investor who cares about strategy. His name's Uncle Sam. He lives in a swamp in the mid-Atlantic, and he has injected $45 billion into Citigroup. So the government is really telling them they've got to change something so that they don't have to come back and ask for another loan.
So why is all of this coming down on Citigroup? Aren't all the banks in trouble?
Well, one reason is that if you'll remember back in the fall when all the other banks were getting married to each other, Citi was rejected by Wachovia, who went with the more handsome Californian Wells Fargo. That meant Citi did not get Wachovia's huge network of bank branches and all the consumer deposits that go along with them. The other thing is Citi, as you said, has become a supermarket. It's got so many parts. And when times get tough, any company has got to focus on the things that are most important to its core business, and it appears for Citigroup that means consumer banking and investment banking.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
The House of Representatives will try to hand the incoming president an early victory today by expanding the state children's health insurance program, better known as SCHIP. President Bush twice vetoed previous congressional bills to make 4 million more low-income children and pregnant mothers eligible for government health insurance. President-elect Obama says he'll sign it, but our D.C. Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports Washington doesn't have the final say.
SCHIP is run by the states, and they have to put up some of their own money before they can receive federal dollars. State revenues are way down in this economy, and governors will be hard-pressed to find the resources to expand health benefits for children. Oregon Governor Ted Kulongoski has proposed raising taxes on health care providers to come up with the money.
There's a revenue source under the provider tax of hospitals and insurers. We have utilized them for a number of years as the funding source for the match, and we're going to do it again.
To pay for expanding the federal SCHIP program, the bill's supporters want to hike tobacco taxes. Some Republicans call that a budget gimmick, since higher taxes will mean fewer cigarette sales and therefore less revenue. But Colorado Democrat Diana DeGette, a leading House sponsor of SCHIP, says that's fine by her.
I would be happy for the day when we have to find another source of revenue because we have decreased smoking.
The Senate hasn't decided when to take up SCHIP expansion, although leaders say they want to get it to the new president's desk early in his administration. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Small businesses are struggling to find credit and stay open as the economy sinks deeper into recession. And recent changes to a popular government loan program are complicating matters, especially for firms owned by women and minorities. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
Gay Guin runs the consulting firm Strategies for Success. She says Washington area small business owners are strapped.
In the past year, I've seen 8 small businesses close down for lack of business and lack of funding.
Recent changes to a popular Small Business Administration loan program aren't helping. The program lends business people small amounts of cash quickly and mainly without collateral. This pilot effort has been up and running for a decade. The Community Express Loan Program originally targeted women and minority-owned small businesses, but because of legal concerns, the program was broadened to include any small business owner who set up in a poorer area. Wisconsin Congresswoman Gwen Moore is on the House Small Business Committee.
The consequences of that is that I could be a very wealthy person and set up a business in an inner city community and receive SBA services ahead of a disadvantaged minority or woman.
Meanwhile, lenders who work with the SBA are hitting the cap on the number of loans they can make because of increased demand for capital. Congress set a financial limit when they kicked off the pilot program. Eric Zarnikow is with SBA's Office of Capital Access.
Until we're sure that the program is right, that it's really serving and protecting the borrowers, we're not in a position to go ask Congress to lift the cap.
But Congresswoman Moore says it's been a successful program and lawmakers would like to make it permanent. Since 1999, the SBA has given out more than 36,000 Community Express loans worth about $1 billion. She adds, until more cash makes it to the local level, the economy won't recover.
There is not a politician who has ever been elected to any office who won't tell you that small business is not the engine of our economy.
Meantime, as the economy sputters, many small business owners are tapping into their personal savings and running up credit card debt, whatever it takes to stay afloat. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Catch up with our podcast at marketplace.org. And thanks much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.